and Muslims in South Asia are fighting because they say certain symbol of religion is more important than life of the people.
Why is it so?
Because you are just talking about
the unity of India is more important than anything else here, and in the name of one country, one nation, you are killing hundreds and thousands of people. Why you are doing that? And why, you see, somebody should kill a doctor there in the United States who aborted a woman, the baby, for whatever reason she wanted to abort the child, was killed by some madcap. And these politicians use anything and everything. Do you mean to say that BJP, I don't even know what's going on here, this is some political party, are really interested in protecting Ayodhya and some Rama's temples? They are using them for political purposes. They really don't believe in Rama. Not at all.
See, we using God for a movie, you know, hit. For a cause.
So just the way, this man, a very successful movie director, using the sufferings of the people, the misery of the people, the tragedies of the people in their individual lives, to entertain me and make money. I am not against that at all. That's what I tell him most of the time. Please, for goodness sake, don't try to educate people. You entertain them. How are you going to entertain them? By using these slums there, how the people are suffering. That's what he is doing. I am not against that. I want to be entertained. I find some sympathetic chord in those people who are acting my role there. I don't know if I make myself clear.
I am giving them some hope at the end.
Yes, he is making money fine. You see, it's all right with me. And they all condemn him, saying that he is copying from this, copying from that. One of these days, the computers will find out the source of all your material, how you have modified that, how you have been very clever to change the, place the words in different places. That is why I am telling him that there is no such thing as creativity, there is no such thing as originality. Don't quote the source, you will be original. And all this talk of intellectual property rights is a sham mockery. Some nations can sign it and some other nations can be forced and bullied into to sign that, what they call the intellectual rights, copyrights. But you don't observe them. Why you don't observe them? Why you want to force them to sign all those things? What for? I know for certain that there is not one word which I can call my own, not one thought which I can call my own, not one experience which I can call my own. All of them are put in this computer. Nothing else. Nothing else. Everything is copied from somewhere or the other. Even the painters who are top painters in their field, if you ask them, are you not copying something that is there in the nature? They certainly admit. You see, they are like those people who look at those leaves. There are four leaves, small, tiny, weeny plants there. And they are looking for, they say that they just stumble into that kind of a thing. But actually and factually, they are looking to find that kind of a thing there and say, there it is.
Yes.
And they don't admit that they have always been looking for that particular thing to pick it up and show to everybody.
Yes.
In exactly the same way, the painter is always looking for some ideas, copying something, and come up with, you see, this, the painting which he thinks it is something extraordinary and original. Only in nature, you can find that it is not using anything as a model. When once the nature has perfected something, it throws it out and then starts all over again. But we are using models in every field of our human thought. I don't know if I make myself clear.
I can understand what you say, that there is nothing uniqueness about individual.
Nothing.
Number one. Number two, what you are saying, that nobody can say that there is anything like liberty or freedom of individual.
Yes, no.
What people professing human rights and other things they are calling. Because scientific revolution has brought to this situation that everything can be put in computer, and we copying or we are stored.
Yes. There. They will find out
yes.
one day
find out also.
That there is nothing original to my claims.
Yes.
So it's just like me robbing everything that belongs to every abundance that is there on this planet for myself
yes.
and telling myself and others that I am here for a nobler and grander purpose than the mosquito, the female mosquito that is interested in your hemoglobin to perpetuate the continuity of the mosquitoes. We are no different. Not only that, we are made to believe that the whole thing is created for the benefit of man. Not at all. We are exploiting the resources of this world, and in the long run we are going to destroy ourselves. You have all kinds of programs on the TV telling us, the media hype it is, to tell us that the planet is in danger. The planet is not in danger at all. Huh? Why they are telling us that the planet is in danger? We are in danger. You see, if we are wiped out by some bacteria they are talking about, it's no loss to the planet at all. Huh? All these bodies, millions and millions of bodies, are useful only for one purpose, recycling them to increase the energy level in this universe. No other purpose.
Huh?
So take for instance, let me complete this, that if you take the plants and animal species on this planet, what we have today amongst the plants is one point of things that existed before. If you take animals into consideration, 0.5, or maybe it's the other way around, I don't know, I'm not for sure, of the animals that existed before. This sham mockery, I call it. Those people who are interested in, you see, the animals, the extinction of some particular kind of animals, it's all bosh and nonsense. They are not really interested in saving the animals at all. They want to use that to collect funds. It may sound very cynical, but the fact of the matter is that they want to exploit, telling us that they are interested to see that a particular animal is not extinct. So if the human species is completely wiped out, totally, I'll be the first one to go by the bacteria. Nothing is lost for this planet. So they are telling us that the planet is in danger is a media hype, and we all fall for that kind of a thing.
Yes, we are in midst of preparation for another conference in Beijing on women, which is discussing equality of women. We are discussing development and peace. Again, I am just telling you, this United Nations effort for last 10 years, starting from Rio conference on environment, came to population, then they came to human rights, and today they have finished social development issues. Now they are concentrating on women issue in relation to women's equality and their development and peace. And we are confronting the same situation. Social peace is a problem again. And we find that social institutions, they are saying in their declaration, in social, they want to defend social institutions like marriage and other things. And they say, if women should participate equally, this is one thing. Number two,
this is too much. I cannot follow you. I want to ask you one question. Are women really interested in that kind of a thing? Really? And why do they allow these commercials to exploit sex? I want to know. Why do they have to use sex and women to sell some salt? A substitute for the real start. All these commercials.
No, they are not allowing exploitation.
Why are they using sex?
No, they want to remove the taboo of sex. This is a natural thing.
Why?
And these directors are exhibiting so those things.
Why women allow that kind of a thing to go on?
They are deliberately using it because women.
Why the women also like that? I am not blaming. I am on their side. You see, why do they allow this kind of a thing to go on? That's all that I am asking.
Because it sells,
usually. Why talk of, you see?
Sex sells. Everybody uses sex.
Why don't you admit
we
that one?
Pepsi Cola and all these things, because we like the taste of the Pepsi Cola.
Fine. What chemicals they use to make that habit forming is anybody's guess.
We use.
Why should they import?
We use anything that makes us self-aware.
Correct.
That I understand.
The movie must become a success.
No, no, why you...
God.
Listen, why you are... Listen, why you are not honest enough to admit that I am out to exploit everything that is available to me to achieve my ulterior goals.
Privately we do, but
no.
In the interviews we have to pretend, because pretensions is the way of life.
Yeah, a whole bunch of those people who are interviewing you,
we have to pretend to them, otherwise they
are jokers, a bunch of jokers. They have to make a living like you.
Because the leader also pretends.
Come on, they are using you. Huh?
Don't you think that this communication people, and this includes film people also,
yes,
and television people also, they are not interested for presenting any solution or anything, because they don't have any solution.
No, there is fact.
What they are doing, they are exhibiting what are the realities. This is human, I don't say psychology, but human nature. And
yes,
you have said already,
yes,
the dogma, religious institution, they cannot change.
Listen, let me tell you something. This human nature you are talking about can never be changed through the use of anything that is available to us so far. Right? If really you are interested in changing the human beings into whatever you want them to be, it is possible only through the help of genetic engineering. I said this before, and I am always emphasizing this point of view. But at the same time, there is a danger in that. You see, they will hand over whatever they have discovered, to the state, and the state will not hesitate to use them to make people do the things they want them to do. So there is no other way. I do not want to emphasize this point. All this is some sort of a neurological disorder in the human brain. Why it is so, I don't know. I cannot make... Forget about all these brain physiologists. They don't know a damn thing about brain. They may not say that this fellow is talking some nonsense. It's all right with me. But they have never looked at a brain functioning exactly the way it is. You study the dead brains, or you use instruments, some scanning. I don't even know what they use. And whatever you see there is the projection of your own ideations and mentations on them. I have known people praising that meditation is something extraordinary. It is not the same that you experience when you take drugs. They show you all those readings. But what they are reading is what they are trying to impose on us, saying that that meditation is quite different from the taking drugs.
So we are always seeing things as we want them to be.
You want, you see, that is why I am telling you one basic thing. I started with this, but we didn't have a chance to record it. Yesterday, we went to the airport in my friend Major's car, and suddenly he saw some bright sun there. I was sitting next to him. Both of us were there in the car. He looked at the sun and said, "What an extraordinary bright sun we have there." I asked him a question. I was sitting next to him, and also, if I may use the word quote and unquote, looked at it, not the way he looked at it. His was a reaction. Mine was a physical reaction, response to the sun out there. So it was so bright that it would damage the eyes. Suddenly, you close the eyelids and you don't see the sun. And this man's reaction was born out of his ideas about that. What a wonderful bright sun. So, I will tell you something. No matter what these physicists tell us, physiologists tell us, the eye specialists tell us, you are sitting and looking at that tree. You see that the tree is flat and not round. They don't have the guts to brush aside totally and completely and wholly the idea of depth in them. You understand? There is no three-dimensional space at all. The physical eye cannot see three-dimensional space. It cannot see the space at all. So all this talk of horizon is absolute rubbish. So it is like that flat. You look at that San Francisco map there. The physical eye sees that exactly the way it is there, and not the depth, not the beauty, not the blue sky there. So all these people, so Einstein's theories must be thrown out. don't talk of fourth dimension to me. Even third dimension does not exist to the physical seeing of things through the help of our eye. I don't care what they say. They may say that I'm saying some nonsense. But one of these days, they have to come to terms with it. What all we have read is absolute rubbish. They are not ready to accept. Somebody comes with some theory today, and you award him a Nobel Prize.
So whether it's a religious man, or a scientist, or an artist, we all see
things. Or a psychologist.
We are all seeing things we want them to be, not as they are.
Yeah. One of the psychologists, one of the psychologists is going to interview me there in California University. She's one of the top psychologists. Her name is Margaret Singer or something like that. She has expressed some wish to see me and record an interview. And she's publishing a magazine called Cultist Magazine or something. I am going to tell that lady, look lady, you are a cultist. There is nothing to your psychological approach to the human problems at all. Is she ready to swallow that? Not at all. I am going to tell a scientist, a top scientist, if he comes to see me, look buddy, don't talk all that nonsense to me. There is no such thing as space. There is no such thing as matter. There is no such thing as time. But what is called force, dimensional space-time continuum. Once a scientist visited me, and he talked in that strain to me. All these scientific theories which you are throwing out at people, are no different from the metaphysicians coming out with those silly, idiotic stuff. You are not different. I will give you a crude example. I asked him, are you ready? You are about to make love to your wife or your girlfriend. If there is no space, what happens to your love making? He stopped in his tracks. What you are saying is true. Do you know what it means? He said, my whole scientific thinking collapses today. He admitted that. The psychologist comes and sees me, the top ones from different universities for their own reasons. I tell them, there is no such thing as mind at all. Your analysis is only paralyzing people. You are no different from the priest there who is listening to all the misery of these people, suggesting some prayers, asking them to do this, that and the other. How are you different from that? He says, what you are saying is true, but we want to believe that you are wrong. What will happen to me? I am earning $3,000 a day, meeting all these people. I have to go and give lecture there in the university college. What will happen to me? He said, do it. Don't tell me that you have the answers for the human problems at all. This analysis is paralyzing the people. You know? So I'm not impressed by, we admire science only because their discoveries have resulted in technology. We have that TV camera there. We have this Sony tape recorder here. This is all. And all this is not benefiting the common man. I'm not a communist. I don't give a damn for communism. When I visited Russia, I knew that it was a nation of slaves and that the whole nation would collapse. Not that I was a prophet or anything. I watched what was happening there. China is different. We don't want to go into that at all.
So you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You see inside tunnel at the end of the light.
Huh?
You don't see any light at the end of the tunnel.
There is no tunnel there. You imagine that you are in a tunnel.
21st century, there is, as we are talking about.
It is not, you may say that I am pessimistic, but next century is not going to be any better. If we survive for another 100 years, that is doubtful. I am no prophet. Even if the world is destroyed, there isn't going to be any paradise on this planet, just the way all these the priests are talking about. Jehovah Witnesses are saying it's going to be a wonderful planet. Sorry.
Ask me a single question, sir.
And
according to the social development, if you imagine that a particular thing means all the individuals who are the richer persons, if they give up their all the wealth to the poorer persons, is there going to be social development?
Not at all. You see, that giving up things is the result of the guilt of the people who have stolen everything that belongs to everybody. Charity is one of the most vicious, vulgar, self-centered activity on the part of these people who give charity. You can start an institution like Mother Teresa and collect millions and millions of rupees. build tremendous institution saying that she is helping people. And she can get a Nobel Peace Prize, but ultimately she will leave behind only a real estate, and people will fight for a share in that real estate. I know it is easy for you to put the label on me and call me a cynic. Not at all. A cynic's feet are very firmly fixed on this planet, more than anybody else. You know, I'm just focusing, spotlighting certain things which we ignore in our desire to change the things around us. You know, even if you change yourself into something, that is what all these religious people are trying to tell us. You must change. You must become a better individual. You must become selfless. There is no such thing as selflessness at all. Even the demand to be a selfless individual is born out of the demand to remain a selfish individual. You know, he is only exploiting us, telling us that he is a selfless person. I am a selfish man. You know, so I feel sorry and feel miserable because he is a selfless man. He is just talking about selflessness, but he is as selfish as anybody else in this world. So, are there any easy answers for our problems today? What are the problems? I don't see any problems. All is right with this world. I don't see anything. When once the demand to bring about a change in you comes to an end, the demand to change the world also comes to an end. As far as I am concerned, I don't care what they call me. I am not in conflict with this society at all. I am not in conflict with the value systems we have today. And why is it that these people want to fit themselves into that value system? And why they cannot fit themselves into the value system? I know the whole value system is rotten. And at the same time, why I am not in conflict with that value system? Why you are in conflict with that system? You are a lawyer. I will never initiate any legal procedure to get anything from you. You can call me up in the court saying that I committed something which endangers the society. That's an illegal action. I will most willingly come there and expose myself to whatever you want to say and what punishment you will give me. So ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance of law is no excuse for anybody.
You mean to say that regulation or regulating society through moral principles which are enforced by law, what is law? Law sometimes retain few moral principles enforced through law, police, state.
Yes.
You mean to say that there can be society of people. I say, why I'm using society include people also, but I say society of the people, where there are no moral principles, no laws which includes moral principles, no enforcement of the state. The state used to enforce through force only. What do you mean?
Yeah, the living organism and human body is a living organism like any other organism on this planet. It is in perfect harmony. You see, this organism's survival depends upon the survival of the organism that is living on this body and also the life around it. You understand? So, let me tell you one thing. That all the members of my family except two, both on my father's side and mother's side, are lawyers. I come from a family of lawyers. I was the first one to break this great tradition of lawyers. And I'll give you an instance. I don't know if it is going too far. My grandfather, mother's father, was a very successful lawyer in Andhra Pradesh. Top one in Gudivada. He lived there in Gudivada. And I, as a little boy, discovered that everything I want is what they wanted me to want. I want money, and I don't want to depend upon them, and they are the only source for me. I was a young boy, 7, 8, I don't remember. And he's using that to control me, either by denying that money or giving the money to me, what I wanted. I didn't like that kind of a relationship. with the source of my money, you know. So then I asked him one day, I'm going to take some money from your chest of drawers. Don't call me a thief. You see, you know. So he said, you cannot do it. And he locked up his drawer. And the next day, a boy of 9 years old went to a locksmith and had a duplicate key made and presented him with this duplicate key. You know, he looked at me and he said, I see a lot of criminal tendencies in you. Huh? We haven't had any criminal lawyer in our family. We all have been very successful civil lawyers. I see some criminal tendencies in you. If one wants to be a success as a criminal lawyer, he must also be a criminal. You know? And then I told him, look here. He said, I don't have to use this duplicate key. And he said, all right, you take whatever money you want and leave a note there saying how much you have taken. So, you see, the law is invented by us. You see, I found that all the lawyers in my family were crooks. I'm sorry. There may be some exceptions. When I discovered this, I didn't want to be a lawyer at all. So you are talking of moral codes of conduct. The religious
because
people...
The law is nothing but moral principles.
Extension, the warty outgrowth of the failed moral codes of conduct.
Or social engineering. Law is social engineering.
I don't want to use high-sounding words and phrases because... the religious man put a policeman inside of you. Huh? If you disobeyed the policeman, he called you a sinner and you will pay the price in your next life. So you have some time to carry on with your kind of whatever you are doing to break the moral course of conduct. We have in our modern day society a policeman. The policeman is outside there. He can easily be corrupted. You know, if he fails, there is an army there. If the army fails, there is always, you see, other weapons to control me. So how is law different from that? Supposing I said this several times before, I am never tired of repeating this. You give a judgment. You haul me up saying that I am a thief. All right, you punish me. Or I occupy this house and claim that this is my property. So you take me to the court and tell me, get out of that place. If you don't do it, I will use force and throw you out. So ultimately, it is the force that we have to use to control people, to make them do the things we want them to do, the way we want them to do. So how is this different? I am not against the legal codes of conduct. I know a lot more about them than most people do because I grew up in a family of lawyers. You know. So what do we do with this? Why are we so concerned about the legal institutions? Tell me. Why the judge's decision based upon the precedents is something extraordinary? These are all clever bastards, I'm sorry. Trying to prove that he's more intelligent than the adversaries there. I am not against that law or any such thing.
You mean to say there is nothing like independence of judiciary, or you mean judiciary is not so important institution?
Yes, not at all.
Keep people at peace.
Yes.
At harmony.
Yes.
I think am I correct? No?
Yes, you are. If religion failed totally, what makes you think that law is enforced on us through force is going to succeed?
You see, this is my experience of 24 years.
Yes.
I am in practice, right from district court. Taluka courts to Supreme Court, I have appeared. And fortunately, unfortunately, I am president of one regional organization of Asia Pacific region. I have full agreement with you that this whole judicial institution or legal institution or legislature is nothing
but a farce. Farce it is.
And it has not achieved anything.
Yeah, we give some dignity to it and make it sacrosanct. What religion has failed to achieve.
Correct.
And this is always your decisions, your judgments are backed by force. No? Yes.
Can I agree with you this thing? Similarly,
so
is a pluralistic society is enforcing certain things on individuals. Similarly, the state through judiciary or enforcing this machinery,
yes,
is using judiciary also,
yes,
for enforcing certain things which they think they are.
No, we have invented another institution to control people. So this is all created by those people who ganged up together and interpret law in their favor, not in my favor. Do they?
Yeah.
So I am frightened of the consequences, and so I try to obey the law. But as far as I am concerned, I am not interested in breaking the law at all. However idiotic and stupid the whole structure is. So what do we do in such a situation?
There is a UG in the same our discussion. I have heard some philosophers speaking or social scientists speaking about compassion. Is there anything like compassion which brings society together or nature together or environment together, or it is a very natural nature of a person? Do you think like that?
No is my emphatic answer. No.
Then I will not go further.
Force is the only thing that make people to do the things the way we want them to do.
Now,
so that is why anytime any people come to see me to discuss their personal problems, I never discuss personal problems at all, because they don't want any solutions for their problems. They want to hear me, hear them to their sob stories. I tell them, look, the situation as I see it is simply this. There is no such thing as our way. Your way or my way. There is no such thing as our way. So in such a situation, one has to compromise and go along with the way of the other person involved in my relationship.
Natural.
You remember when Gandhi talked of, you know, the inner voice. Inner voice dictated me to start this movement, non-violent movement. And all his non-violent movements ended up in violence. You like it or not.
It happened. History.
It happened. That is history. You see, I'm not interpreting anything. I'm just mentioning the way all his movements ended up. And then he said, I committed an Himalayan blunder. A few months after, he started another thing. And people asked him, why you are doing the same thing? This time also is the same inner voice speaking to you to start another movement? He said, life is a series of compromises. He was a very clever fellow, you see. And so that is the way, you see, they force these things on us and they exploit the gullibility and credulity of the people. Whether it is a religious man or a politician or a psychologist or a scientist or a doctor. You see, the doctors may not like what I am going to say now. I always say that look here, the modern is the medicine is nothing but a warty outgrowth of the witchcraft, and the doctors we have in our midst today are nothing but witches, modern day witches. They are not ready to listen to that, and they tell you that this fellow is talking some gibberish. But it is not gibberish. All this medication that you are giving it to this living organism is destroying the innate capacity of the body to take care of itself. You know, the innate thing it is born with is destroyed by the medication. But we are all paranoid people. In America, you see all these commercials. They said 9 out of 10 doctors. It used to be 3 out of 4. And I tell those people, you just forget the 10th one and ignore the 9 doctors. They can be bought, these doctors. So we all fall for these commercials, you see. You know? What do we do in such a situation? Individually, there isn't a damn thing that you can do. Collectively means you become the enemy of the whole nation, individuals too, you see, because it is disturbing the status quo. What people are interested
to maintain
the
status quo.
Is to maintain the status quo. Anything that becomes a threat to the status quo is dubbed as the enemy of the state or the enemy of the individuals.
Now I will come to the area which is related but little specific. specific and little different. You have been to China, and in the background of the situation, I will not touch political aspect too much, which I have already covered, that United States, West European countries, developing countries, and remaining countries, they all are looking to China for 2-3 reasons, like its population, its size, its culture, whatever you call culture, means traditions or whatever you call the way of living or whatever, and the economic progress and their way of thinking. And since Andol Toynbee, who wrote A Study of History,
yes,
he could not write what is going on now because he wrote long back. In background of the history, which you know, the philosophy of popular in China, I'm not touching philosophical aspect, but what you find distinct in China, which are close to your thinking.
You see, I didn't want to go to Russia at all, although I was an admirer of Mao Zedong. But every time I was on television or radio or talked to the newspapers, they always asked me the questions, you have been everywhere, what country you like most? I said, I have been everywhere in the world except China. And I happened to be in Hong Kong and suddenly decided that I should drop that rider that I have been everywhere except China and see for myself. What impressed me most in that country, I have never been impressed or fooled by anything that we read in these magazines and the media outside China. What impressed me most there was Mao Zedong succeeded in destroying this stranglehold of Confucius in that country. That was a remarkable achievement. I'm not interested in how many people are killed. We are killing people. Whether they are killed for the cause of communism, or killed for the cause of four freedoms, or killed for the democratic institutions, or for religious reasons, killing is killing. And what I do not want people to do is, don't talk of sacredness of life. The unity of this country, you are killing people. The communism, they are killing people. They condemn Russia because they killed so many young people there in the Tiananmen Square. But why 4 boys were killed in America, in Alabama or somewhere, when they condemned America and America's role in Vietnam? So whether you kill 4 or 4,000 or 4 million, it really doesn't impress me at all. So what impressed me most was that they have succeeded in a strange way eliminating the stranglehold of Mao Zedong there. I don't know if you don't find Mao Zedong's photos anywhere except in that square. And some old taxi drivers still have his photo on their dashboards. That impressed me most. And another thing is, I'm not interested in any political system, in any religious stuff that they are dishing out. As long as people are not fed and clothed and sheltered.
Yes.
I'm not impressed by anything they are telling me. At least, to that extent, communistic systems succeeded in feeding them. At what cost is a different matter. You may think that they killed so many people. Stalin killed so many people. That doesn't impress me at all. We have no right either for humanitarian reasons or for religious reasons or any reason that you can come up with to allow a person to starve and deny him the basic things, shelter and clothing. I'm not impressed by anything else. So how you are going to achieve that goal? We have been brainwashed to believe that they are going to achieve this goal. when one generation is finished here in this country, and they are all on the increase today, and you are giving me all the statistical figures, you have opened the door to let market economy or whatever, I'm not even familiar with those phrases, into this country. But it is not going to be anything different at all. You know, you always say that you are pessimistic, you are this, that and the other. That's an easy way out for the people. Instead of looking at what I am trying to focus. So I am only interested in focusing certain things. I am not swayed by anything they say about their solutions. They are offering to change the whole face of the earth. It has not succeeded so far. And I have no illusions that they are going to succeed in the next century. You can call me, put a label on me, a pessimist. But basically, essentially and fundamentally, whatever they are saying, through any instrument they are coming up, is going to change the face of the earth.
In morning you spoke one subject about marriage institution, what you observed in China. Number two, you spoke that Chinese way of life is different than other developing countries, because China is also part of developing countries, and it has a long, whatever you call, religious heritage or cultural heritage, whatever. But how it is able to, not respecting social institutions like marriage here, I find most of the Asian countries are recognizing and making it legal also, or constitutional, religious principles, religious dogmas, including marriage institution. How they were able to overcome this situation? You find anything due to communist system, it was able, they were able to achieve this thing, or any other reason?
It is not the communist system or democratic institutions that are involved in dealing with this age-old institution of marriage. Have they succeeded in the Western nations? Not at all. So as I always maintain, that it is